A federal judge in California says Uber drivers can move forward with a lawsuit against the company. From Marketplace, I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio, a lawsuit that could have implications for many startups and their workers moved forward yesterday. A federal judge granted class action status to current and former Uber drivers who were suing the company. The drivers want to be treated as employees and get employee benefits and not as freelancers. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor is here. Sabri, what are the details of the suit?
Well, this lawsuit only applies to California, but it could have national implications, and it asks a fundamental question. Is Uber just a technology platform that connects passengers and drivers? You know, is it like eBay connecting buyers and sellers? Or is it like a yellow cab taxi service that actually employs its drivers?
And how is that determination made?
Laws vary. They are vague, but you have to look at how much control Uber has. So on the one hand, Uber drivers have tons of flexibility about when and where they work. They don't have to show up at this time or that time. On the other hand, Uber does control them in certain ways. It sets fares. It vets drivers. It can fire them. These kinds of things make the difference between worker and freelancer.
And why is that an important distinction?
Well, if they're employees, Uber has to pay tolls and fuel and repairs. But this goes well beyond Uber. I mean, tons of startups use this freelancer model to do laundry or clean houses or deliver things. And depending on how the suit goes, they could start having to pay payroll taxes and overtime and all kinds of expenses which may stifle their growth. Of course, there's also the argument that these are worker protections in place for a reason.
A lot at stake. All right. Thanks so much, Sabri. Let's take a look at some numbers. European markets are up this morning. The FT 100 in London and the DAX in Germany are up about a third of a percent. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also up about 0.6%. That's after a sharp close downward yesterday. President Obama is one vote shy of the 34 votes he needs in the Senate to solidify his Iran nuclear deal. Obama won the support of two Senate Democrats, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania and Chris Coons of Delaware, yesterday. Secretary of State John Kerry will make a speech about the deal in Philadelphia today. Kerry has argued that if the U.S. nixes the deal, it could cause tensions with the six other world powers who signed on. Kerry says that could undermine U.S. economic power and even erode the dollar's status as the world's go-to currency. Marketplace's Andy Euler asks whether that's likely to happen.
President Obama says walking away from the deal would weaken U.S. credibility, not to mention create financial complications with markets around the globe if the U.S. goes it alone in imposing sanctions. Chris Sheridan is a senior editor for Financial Sense. He says there's been fear that the dollar will lose its reserve currency status for decades, but that comes with some pretty big implications.
To say the U.S. dollar is going to lose its reserve currency status is really to say that the U.S. is going to no longer be the world's largest economy.
And that would take a while. Backing out is sure to put the U.S. in an awkward position with its allies and international banks. But is it really as dire as Kerry suggests? Jim Gelvin teaches history at UCLA. He says reprimanding countries that are trading with a nation that we've sanctioned is one thing.
But can we really sanction the British pound, the Deutsche Mark, the French franc, Chinese? I mean, it's impossible.
But Kerry has pointed to Russia's suggestion that continued sanctions could jeopardize the dollar's dominant global position. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
College campuses are getting ready for the return of students today, and campus stores are stocked up on umbrellas, mugs, and hoodies bearing the college logo. Licensed college merchandise is a nearly $5 billion a year industry. And as Gigi Duban reports from Alabama, the revenue from those licenses is fiercely protected.
Mary Caesar owns a small bakery in Northport near the University of Alabama campus. There's lots of school spirit in the cookies and cakes she sells.
We have houndstooth hats, more elephant heads, more of these helmets, elephant bodies. I guess that's it, elephant bodies.
The elephant is Big Al, the University of Alabama's mascot. Houndstooth is the university's adopted pattern after legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant's houndstooth hat. Caesar also sells cookies with a script A on them, some with the phrase Roll Tide. It wasn't a problem until a few years ago when the university sent her a cease and desist letter.
I was in shock. I mean, truly, it was like, holy crap, excuse the expression.
Those cookies and cakes, they said, had to be licensed. It was a week away from football season, and Caesar didn't want a long, drawn-out legal battle. So in a few days, the matter was settled. She bought the license. Susan Alessandri teaches advertising at Suffolk University. She says the stronger a school's brand, the more people want to see it on everything.
But also the bigger brands, say like the University of Alabama, they have the resources to go after offenders, and they're going to.
Corey Moss is Senior VP and Managing Director at Collegiate Licensing Company. He says brand protection is at the cornerstone of what CLC does. And to him, it's clear cut. Take a t-shirt that says Alabama.
Is it in crimson? Is it sold around other Alabama product? Would an average consumer look at that product and say, that's referencing the University of Alabama?
CLC trolls the internet for people selling unlicensed merchandise. Moss calls them counterfeiters. Selling unlicensed items, he says, robs universities of revenue that goes towards scholarships and athletic programs. In Northport, Alabama, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
We are coming to you from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today. Welcome back to campus, Red Hawks. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.